Okay, Rabbos, this week's parasha, we have parashas Vayigash. We have, I think, Bez Hashem, a very, very important idea and lesson that we're going to hopefully take from this parasha. The famous, famous end of the story. Perek Menhei begins, V'lo yachol yosev li'es apeik. He can't take it anymore. L'chol ha'nitzavim alav. Everyone's there, standing around. Vayikra, hotziu cholish me'alai. Yosef calls out and says, "Everybody out of here!" V'lo amad ish itol be'esvadai Yosef elachav. And nobody's in the room when Yosef goes ahead and makes himself revealed to his brothers. What's bothering Yosef? What can he take? So if I was being a Pashtun, and I was translating this pasuk kipshuto, shel mikra, I would say he can't handle it anymore. To see his brothers like this coming back to him and beg, and it's, he can't stomach it anymore. It's too much to handle. That's what I would say. Comes along Rashi, Rabbi Osai, and breathes a different pshat to this pasuk that should make us shake and make us shudder. Says Rashi, "Lo yachol Yosef le'esapek l'chol nitzavim alav." Lo yachol lizbol. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't stomach it. What? Sheiyu Mitzrayim nitzavim alav. That the Egyptians would be standing around in the room. V'shomin, and they would hear she'echav mizbayshin bivad olahem. That his brothers would be embarrassed when Yosef would reveal himself to his brothers. Rabbi said this Rashi is unbelievable. What's unbelievable about it? If anybody had a taina, a claim on his brothers, if anybody had an excuse for someone to be embarrassed, it was Yosef. Did his brothers care about him 22 years earlier when they threw him into a pit? Were they concerned what would happen to him? Absolutely not. Yosef had every reason in the world to call a public media, to call in the local television of Mitzrayim, to bring them all in and say, "Brothers, I'm Yosef." And as embarrassed as they were, when Yosef actually revealed himself to them, they would have been so much more embarrassed. And what's on Yosef's mind? Not me, but rather Rabbi Osai, sensitivity about his brothers. Oy gevalt, my brothers are going to be embarrassed. Oy gevalt, how can I do this to them? And therefore he calls Mitzrayim now. And this idea Rabbi Osai carries through. It carries through later on in this week's parasha, and it carries on again in next week's parasha. I want to just develop it with you for a few minutes now together. The Rabban is the beginning of the Mefarshim that asks this obvious kasha. The Rabban wants to know, how can it be? Yosef's away for 22 years. He doesn't send a telegram to his father, telling his father, "I'm okay. Pop! I'm alright." 22 years! Yaakov is worried sick. His brothers and the whole family tries to be Menachem Yaakov. He refuses to accept Nechama, we learned the Parshas Vayeshev. He doesn't send a telegram, doesn't send a note, a messenger. "Yaakov, don't worry about it, I'm fine, everything is okay." Nothing, not a zilch. How could it be? So the Ramban has a famous answer, which does not have to do with the Shmuz, but after once I mentioned the Ramban's Kasha, you have to give the Ramban's answer also. What's the Ramban's answer? One more answer. It's called dreams. Yosef was into the dreams. Yosef thought the dreams were nevuah. The dreams were prophecy from Hashem. And Yosef wanted to fulfill those dreams. And if he were to tell Yaakov he was alive in Mitzrayim, he was okay, the dreams would have been shattered. They would have come down to Mitzrayim earlier, and they would never been, it would have been coming bowing down to Yosef. The dreams would have been shattered. And it wasn't just, okay, like a dream boy, he wanted to have his dreams fulfilled. He thought the dreams were nevuah. And therefore, in order to protect the dreams and allow them to come true, Yosef didn't tell Yaakov about his existence in Mitzrayim. That's the Ramban's pshat. The Orachayim HaKadosh Rav Osai, this parasha, says a beautiful pshat, a different pshat. Listen to this pshat, an amazing pshat. Says the Orachayim, he's bothered. I'll read you his lashon for a second. V'ra'isi l'aseh slave b'inyan Yosef, eich lochash al tzar ovid kama shonim. How can he not be bothered with his father's pain for so many years? And he goes on, he says as follows. There's a two-part answer to this question. There's the part when Yosef was still a slave in Mitzrayim, And there's the part when Yosef was older than Gedula. Says the Or HaChaim, the first bunch of years, Yosef was concerned about his own self. He was concerned if he would tell Yaakov that he was still alive, what would happen? What happened would be, his brothers would come down and finish him off. They'd finish him off, they'd kill him. After all, what was he? Mitzrayim, a slave to Potiphar, he was sold down, he was a nobody. His brothers obviously felt he was Chayav Misa. He was worried about himself. I'll die, I'll get killed, says Or HaChaim. Okay, let's fast forward a little bit. But now Yosef is now the ruler of Mitzrayim. As the ruler of Mitzrayim, no one's going to touch him. He's got his bodyguards around him. He's okay, he's safe. So why doesn't he tell Yaakov when he's already the ruler of Mitzrayim, and he's alive? And says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, listen carefully. What a pshat. Back to sensitivity. Yosef is sensitive. He's concerned. If he tells Yaakov he's alive, Yaakov's going to wonder what happened. And what's he going to do? He'll interrogate the brothers. And what's going to happen? They'll have no choice but to tell him that they sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim, that they tried to kill him in a pit. And what's going to happen? Yaakov's going to be really, 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 really upset at the brothers. And therefore, to avoid the pain from his brothers that tried to kill him and threw in a boar, literally to kill his life, Yosef is concerned and doesn't send a telegram to Yaakov once in 22 years.
Wow.
A third final pshat before we get to the practical halacha l'maaseh from this. Fast forward. This is not a keen of next week's shmooze. But I'm going to have to just to be in this point home. Beginning of next week's parasha, Vayechi, Yaakov gets sick. It says in the parasha, he's about to die. Vayekru Yimei Yisrael Amos. Vayekru Levnon Yosef. They call Yosef. Yaakov calls Yosef and he says, listen, bury me in Eretz Yisrael. But it gets worse. They come and tell Yosef, your father's sick. Yosef was too busy in the shrine, running the shrine. He didn't have time to worry about his father. Probably not. A little difficult. They have to tell Yosef his father is sick. He doesn't know his father's sick. His father's living in the shrine for 17 years. Yosef has no clue what's going on with Yaakov. Abos, listen to this pshat, say to my fortune. Where is Yaakov living? In what part of the tribe?
Goshen.
Where is Yosef living? In the heart of Egypt, in the palace. Why is Yosef not living next to Yaakov? You know why? Same exact one. Yosef is scared. He'll be sitting down one day and having a cup of coffee. And Yaakov's going to say, hey, my buddy old pal, Joe, Yosef, how'd you get here? So Yosef distanced himself from his father for all that time to avoid again what? Causing his brothers uncomfortable pain. Chazal teaches us, Noach lo la'adam, it's better for a person to throw himself into a kishon ha'esh than to embarrass somebody else. Abosai, three varts, two from this week's parasha, one from next, that speak about one idea, and that is the following idea: sensitivity, sensitivity, and sensitivity. Yosef had all the right in the world to tell Yaakov what happened to him. He had all the right to call Mitzrayim in and tell Mitzrayim, look how brothers treat their brother. No, that's not Yosef. Yosef is a sensitive boy, a sensitive man, a sensitive ruler. He's concerned about the feelings and the pain of his next friend. Rabosai, I want to try to apply this home and bring some of a few practical examples that I think can hit home and talk to us in our lives. When I was in high school, I played ball for MTA. Even before high school, I played ball for YNJ. I went to my alma mater, I went to YNJ. My father's a busy man. He's a rabbi of a shul and he teaches, and he's a very busy person. But he would try as often as he could to come to my games, my basketball games. So when he would come, he would cheer on. And if I scored a basket or I made a good pass or something, so he'd be like proud to go in and let me know about that. One thing pained him tremendously about our basketball games. If there was a cremation, it would pain him to no end. So much so, that I remember very many, many times my father would go down to the coach
on the floor, and he'd go, see the coach, cover up Rios. These kids are going to go home to their houses tonight, and their father or mother's going to ask them, hey, how was the game? We lost. What was the score? 42-3. Sorry. They're going to be so embarrassed. They're going to be so ashamed. 42-3. You couldn't score a basket. You couldn't do something with the ball. And the kids are going to be embarrassed. Coming up Rios. And nothing would make my father happier than when I would come over from a game. My father would say, did you win? Yeah, we won. What was the score? 39-38. Oh, Givaldic! Coming up Rios. And I was like biting my fingernails the whole time, so nervous. Oh, Givaldic, what was it going to be? Are we going to even come out victorious? And coming up Rios. But that's sensitivity. Now, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't play basketball and try to win. And I'm not saying that if you're winning by a lot, you should just throw in the towel and stop playing. But sensitivity, that's what sensitivity means. Another quick little anecdote, and then I'll try to bring it more home to our lives. I have a vivid memory. There was a family in my community who had one child, and the child was away for Shabbos, and that family, the parents, came to Mass for Shabbos. My father, Kenhar, has many children, and the minhag of parents, a lot of times on Friday night, to give brachos to the children Friday night. And my father didn't give us brachos that Friday night. He waited. After Kiddush, he called us into a private room and gave us brachos on the side. Why? Because the family was there. They had one child. That child was far away. And he was concerned that if he would give them brachos to us in front of them, it would make them uncomfortable. He didn't feel bad. And he didn't want to do that. And that is beautiful sensitivity. That is not easy sensitivity to have. That's hard to have, hard to come across. But that is sensitivity of the Bosa, which we should try to strive for in life. Let's try to bring it a little closer to home. A little closer to home is the following. Abosa, we're in the yeshiva. We're in a dorm. Hashem blessed different people with different things. Some people have a lot. Others don't have a lot. Some people have 7 sweatshirts with every different brand name that exists. And others have 1 sweatshirt that's not a brand name. Now, it's very possible that you don't need a sweatshirt. Because it's cold outside. So you ask your roommate, can you pass me my sweatshirt? That's no problem. But listen carefully. You don't have to say, can you pass me my Abercrombie sweatshirt? If that's a chash of a sweatshirt that costs a lot of money. Knowing that your roommate would be salivating for an Abercrombie sweatshirt and never had a chance to buy one in his whole life. Because that, Avosai, is a lack of sensitivity. You're not necessarily intending to do it. Or another marshal. You went to town and you have a credit card from your parents. They give you a credit card and you can spend as much as you want. And you went to a certain eatery and you had a great meal. You went to Papagayo's. And you spent 100 and how many shekels? And all you could eat? 180 shekels and all you could eat. And you're feeling good and you're feeling great. And your friend comes into the room. And he doesn't have a credit card that he can spend as much as you want on. And his parents didn't say, okay, spend as much as you want this whole year. Don't come in and say, you know, the prime rib was delicious, and the steak was amazing, and I forgot to mention that the delicious, you know, finely cut and finely spiced piece of whatever else they have, Japanese whatever I ate over there. Don't do that. Because that looks like a lack of sensitivity. I'll give you another mashal. A mashal maybe that, again, you don't appreciate right now. But it's a mashal that, as you get older in life, you appreciate much more. Some people are both sides blessed with children right away when they get married. Other people are not necessarily blessed with children. The way Rav Miller, Shlita, put it so nicely once. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear their tefillos a little bit more than others. Hashem loves them so much, He wants to hear more of their tefillos. It's common. Young couples get married, they sit around and they talk. What do they talk about, obviously? They're babies. But there could be a couple that's there for a year or two or three, and I'm sure you all know couples that are married for longer than a few months and don't have children yet. And they're sitting in the room and all they're wishing, all they're chalashing for is to change a dirty diaper. And one of the mommies or dad is complaining that he had to get up last night to change a diaper. They don't mean anything. They don't mean to be insensitive. They don't mean to be cruel. But unfortunately, in reality, what's happening? Inside, the mother and the father that are sitting on the table are painting and saying, oh, if only I could get up in the middle of the night and change the diaper. They're both like, the list can go on and on. And it's not so hard to do. All it takes is a little bit of simat lev, a little bit of focus, a little bit of attention, a little bit of caring and concern about the next person. And we could become little Yosef addicts. We could become people that emulate Yosef and are not, Rabosai, just going with the flow and talking whatever's on our mind and acting however we want. No. Act with sensitivity. Realize that there's a person next to me and he has feelings. There's a person next to me and she may have feelings. There's a person next to me and I have to be careful and concerned about their feelings. And then Rabosai will live in a very, very happy world. In a world that people, even though they might be having different difficulties and challenges, we're not going to cause them anymore. We're not going to put it in their face and stick it in their nose and say, Chas v'shalom. Whether we do that overtly or covertly, the same amount of pain can be caused to the next person. I both say, let's try our best to learn from Yosef HaTzadik. He had all the right in the world to stick it in the brothers' faces. He had all the right in the world to tell Yaakov where he was. He had all the right in the world to live next to his father. He wasn't next to him for so many years. But that wasn't Yosef. Yosef is sensitive. Yosef is mindful to the needs, to the issues of his friend, of his neighbor. Abosai, if we internalize this message, we can become people that live with the title of Yosef HaTzadik. People that live and walk around and people say about us, wow, that's about midos. Bez Hashem, Shem Yizrocha, to that wonderful charge and task in life. A wonderful Shabbos, Abosai.